Thanks for downloading this free audio sermon from Bethel Church, Coventry. For more audio downloads, updates on the building project and other information, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.
Exodus chapter 23, verse 14 to 18. 3 times a year you are to hold a festival for me. Hold the spring festival of unraised bread when you eat unraised bread for 7 days. At the time set for the month of Ab?
Yeah.
As I command you, that was the month you came out of Egypt, no one should show up before me empty-handed. Hold the summer festival of harvest when you bring in the first fruits of all your work in the fields. Hold the autumn festival of ingathering at the end of the season when you bring in the year's crops.
Thank you, Lucy. So
Leviticus 23:39-43 says, on the 15th day of the 7th month, after you have brought your crops in from the fields, celebrate the feast of God for 7 days. The first day is a complete rest, and the 8th day is a complete rest. On the first day, pick the best fruit from the best trees, take fronds of palm trees and branches of leafy trees, and from willows by the brook, and celebrate in the presence of your God for 7 days. Yes, for 7 full days, celebrated as a festival to God. Every year from now on, celebrate it in the 7th month, live in booths for 7 days. Every son and daughter of Israel is to move into booths, so that your descendants will know that I made the people of Israel live in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am God, your God.
The Israelites, God's people, to remember that time that they were 40 years in the wilderness. And we saw in one of the readings today that they were called to make a booth, a tabernacle, or a tent. It can be called all of those different words. And tradition says that these tabernacles have to have various things. They're meant to be high enough that you can stand up in, but we're not going to have that today, I don't think. They're meant to have 3 sides. And most importantly, a tabernacle is meant to have a roof that you can see through, so you can see the sun and the moon and the stars through the roof of the tabernacle. So I think we're making the second side. So we need 3 sides according to rabbinic tradition. Thank you. And the reason why they were meant to have a roof that you can see through was they were meant to be able to experience everything, to be able to see the sun and the moon and the stars, and also that they were meant to be a little bit not shielded from all of the weather conditions, because they were meant to be remembering what it was like to be in the wilderness for all of those years. So have we got our 3rd side? Very good. Okay. So on a booth, we need to have some sort of ceiling that you can see through. How are you going to do that? Okay, so we've got some sticks going on. Very good, team. Israeli gaffer tape. Doesn't quite mention it in the Bible or rabbinic law.
It's the message version.
Yeah, message version, there you are. Excellent. Now, I went in a booth last year. A friend of mine friends who are a Jewish family, and they live over in Nuneaton, and they build one of these booths every year. And they go in the booth when they've made it. They put a roof on quite similar to this, and they put branches and leaves and fruit as well, and they decorate the booth, and then they stay in it. They eat in it, and they sleep in it sometimes. I must admit, if it's raining, they go inside. And they play music in it, and I was invited over last year, and we had a great time. And it did feel a bit wobbly. It didn't feel particularly secure, but I think that's the point, that God was protecting his people in the wilderness, and that we're really frail, and that when we think of ourselves before God, we're really dependent upon him. And therefore, your tabernacle, your booth, it doesn't need to be that strong. If it falls over, it's okay. It illustrates something about the God. Okay. Okay. And the Feast of Tabernacles or Booths is part of a harvest festival for God's people. And that's why we're looking at it today in harvest. We're remembering God's provision for us. Now, Shona and team, have you got some leaves ready to... Oh, amazing, look at these. Wow. Do you want to hold them up, everyone, so we can see what your leaves look like? Oh, look at these, they're beautiful. So we've got these lovely leaves.
Okay, if you've got a leaf that you've made, do you want to come and come up onto the stage here and see if you can place it on the roof to make our nice roof of our booth? Okay, that's it. See if you can place it on there. Make sure it stays. Brilliant. That's good. Make sure you cover all the top. Spread them out. That's it. Once you've done your leaf, go and sit back down. You can make another one if you like, if you've got time. They've got time to make another one.
What we're going to do, Ian, is we're going to... we can get a few people sitting in it.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to test out whether they can indeed see the sun, moon and stars through the roof of their booth.
If you'd like to, you can go and sit inside. Sit inside the booth, and we'll see if you've made it weathertight.
Ooh. And I need three helpers who are going to help us illustrate whether they can see the sun, moon, and stars through the roof of their booth.
Okay. Will it fit in that gap there?
Yeah, okay, brilliant. Need someone who can hold some stars. Do you want to help? No. Someone help with some stars. Sammy, you can. Okay, I'd like you to waft that over the tabernacle for me.
Yeah, that's good.
We also have a moon. We have a moon. Does anyone want to help with a moon? Come around that way. Yeah? There you are. Do you want to see? Do you want to waft that over the roof and see if they can see the moon through the ceiling? And we have a sun. Now let's go and ask.
Okay, you in the booth, sit down and relax. Take it easy. You've got all night to look at the stars, look at the sun. Yeah, you might get some decent food, maybe. What kind of food did they have, Lou?
Oh, well, they're just eating it.
Okay.
So, yeah, they're just eating it for
Not
a week.
Camping food, special, like, space age, like, boil in the bag. No?
I don't know.
Okay.
Okay, can you see the sun, moon, and stars through the roof?
Oh, yeah.
Yes? Amazing. Right, now, we're going to test out the other tent. So, everyone, we're going to go to our tent for today. If you want to go and sit in the other tent... Brilliant. Now we're going to test out whether you can see the sun, moon and stars through Ian's pop-up tent. So, sun, moon and stars. So
that's a two-berth tent, Lou.
Is the what, sorry?
That's a two-berth tent.
A two-berth?
Yeah.
Two-berth tent. Okay, so do you want to test out your sun, moon and stars? Okay, so...
Anybody see the stars?
Yeah.
Can you see the sun, moon and stars?
No, we can't, sorry.
I don't think they can. Brilliant, well done team. You're welcome to hang out in there if you want. Well done. You can make some more leaves or you can hang out in the tent. You're very welcome. We're going to have a think for a few minutes. I've done to your church. So you might have noticed our camping theme. that we've had this morning. And you may have thought, actually, harvest isn't much to do with camping. But the thing is, we'd all be mistaken. See, God instituted, he created this festival of ingathering as one of the three harvest festivals that he gave to his people Israel. And we see from those readings that were kindly read out in Exodus 23 and Leviticus 23. And when we look further into Torah, we see the Israelites, and they're instructed to bring their 10%, their first fruit, their first from their flocks, and to bring it to a central location, and then it would be shared with those in need. And this annual week-long festival is called the Feast of Tabernacles. And it's to tell us a story, both then and now. You see, God was calling his people out of slavery, out of Egypt. And did you know it's only 11 days' journey, actually, walking between the foot of Mount Sinai and the land of Canaan? 30 years. So God's desire, the Father's desire, was that we would live, they would live in obedience, complete trust and dependence upon God. So God's can you hear me? And they're called Sukkah. And the Jews still remember this when they celebrate Sukkot every year. And as I said, last year I was invited to a Sukkot festival where we ate, I didn't sleep, we had the sukkah. So the image of a good sukkah isn't one that is really strong. It doesn't look like this tent here. A really strong sukkah is one that you can see the sun, moon and stars through the ceiling of. It's one that's a little bit wobbly. It's not too perfect. And it's to help us to remember that God calls us to be vulnerable and totally dependent upon him through all of our everyday lives. So as Christians, we have adopted this feast of gathering to our own customs and cultures. And part of that is we harvest festivals. And unfortunately, sometimes the link is a little bit weak with nature or just with creation, when actually these three harvest festivals are much, much more powerful than that. They're about being completely and utterly dependent upon God as we journey. This God who protects and guides for his precious, peculiar people. Rather than perhaps bringing a little food to a harvest festival that we then forget until the next year. Through scripture, we see Paul and we see Peter talking about our bodies as tabernacles, as tents too. Paul mentions that we dwell in this tent during our journey towards an eternal house in heaven. And Peter in 2 Peter says, I live in the tent of this body, because I know it will soon be put aside as the Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. What difference does it make when we're talking about a very long time ago? We're talking about our Jewish heritage, but wow, that was a long time ago. What difference does it make to me now? I want to talk to you from Colossians 2, and it reads this. Do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that are to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. I'm going to read that again. Do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that are to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. The reality is found in Christ, even in the midst of our everyday. But how can that be when often I still feel like I'm wandering through the wilderness? And I often feel that I'm in this rickety shelter, and I know that I'm meant to feel the joy of seeing the sun, moon and stars, but actually the elements are really getting to me, and I'm not having that joy that I'm called to. On those days when nothing really reassures or comforts me that I'm doing a good job, and I feel lonely and I feel vulnerable, where is Jesus then? We're going to watch a short video. I'm going to read you some of those words. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou rod of Jesse, free thine own from Satan's tyranny. From depths of hell thy people save, and give them victory o'er the grave. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou dayspring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night, and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. You see, we were always designed to walk in a close, dependent relationship with God, where the elements do fall on our heads, but we can look up and we receive our breath and our confidence and our courage and our direction from him. It's how he originally designed it in the Garden of Eden, when we walked hand in hand, so to speak, with God. And yet we thought we knew better. We turned our back on him, that's called rebellion, and we started to do things our own way, and that's called sin. And Jesus couldn't stay in his throne room of heaven and watch that, when the Father so desperately wants that relationship back with his people. And so, he did this. The God of heaven came down and pitched his tent right in the midst of his people. Right in the midst of that dirty world full of sin, that world that's so different to this world that he created. And in the Message version, it says this. It said, God became flesh and blood, and he camped, he indwelled, he came into the neighborhood. And it's a really good description, because the word dwell, when you look back at the original, means tent. He pitched his tent right in the midst of all the mess, right in the midst of all the mess of my life and yours and the mess of his creation, to call us back into that relationship with him. Now you might see why we have tents as a theme today. And God calls us, and he calls every one of us in this room, I believe, to say, oh, Lord, I recognize that pain and that sin in me when I turn my back and I rebel. Would you come and indwell? Would you come and pitch your tent right in the midst of my mess? I'm sorry, God, for the sin in me. I want to do things your way. I want you to be my Lord. That means the king, the boss, the one who I follow earnestly, knowing that he will journey with me and I journey with him. Today might even be the first time that you decide that you want to follow the God who calls us to live out his indwelling to a nation that really needs to hear the truth about him.
You have been listening to a broadcast here from Bethel Church in Coventry. For more information and other sermons, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.